Well, hello there. This is the Red Phone Zone. This is going to be your weekly podcast. This is going to be our maiden voyage, and right now, I can't tell you how excited I am. I am very excited about this. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while, and I have not had somebody that's willing to do it with me like my co-host here. Say hello, co-host.
Hello, this is Shay Rinke.
Well, hello, Shay Rinke. I do not recall what I said in the past, but I am Aaron. I'm Aaron Hoover. And we are starting up this podcast today. Something that I'm going to have to ask is, we're going to have to ask if anybody does end up listening to this to allow us a little bit of room for learning. I haven't done anything like this, and we're just going to go ahead and jump on into it as if it's the way that we're going to be doing it. So we're working on it right now. Shay's setting up everything. But yeah, RedPhoneZone.com. It's going to be our weekly podcast where we hope to talk about comic books, movies, things like video games. We're going to occasionally throw in the occasional tabletop game, and it's going to be good. Okay, Shay, how does that sound to you?
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does. It really does sound like a lot of fun. Although I do doubt that we're ever going to really get any listeners, at least at this point. But I hope that as we do this, maybe before we start picking up listeners, that we figure out what we're doing a little bit more. So, you know, here's to that.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. Okay, we're starting this out. I would like to call this our issue number zero of the Red Phone Zone podcast. I'm saying this because this is not going to be your typical Red Phone Zone. We are going to be a little bit more structured than we are tonight. We are going to be doing a lot of other things, and I really feel that it is necessary for myself to say that I wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for a podcast out there called the Bagdon Boardcast. Shay, have you ever heard of the Bagdon Boardcast?
Yes, I have.
And what's that all about?
Bagdon Board comic books.
It is a very good. It's a very good podcast. It's something that I just started listening to. I was listening to another podcast that had a very similar name, and I just found it when I was doing a search, and I discovered that there's this other one. So I listened to it to see if it was similar, and it was similar, but it was better. I mean, we had four gentlemen on it that were actually mature, and they weren't sounding like a bunch of little whiny kids, and it was interesting. And so they've had me hooked ever since. And I just feel like when I listen to it, that sounded like the conversations that go on in my very living room, when I'm out at the coffee shop, when I am just out and about, and yet these people saw the wisdom in going ahead and recording that and making it available. And I enjoy it. So I'm thinking if these guys can do it, why not me? What do you think about that?
I'm right here with you.
You're right here with me. That's good to hear. That's really good to hear. Well, that is why I want to do it. Shay, why is it that you decided that you wanted to do a podcast?
I have been talking about it with some friends over the last couple of weeks. I was going to do some, and have done a little bit of work with a political podcast that I listen to called Pirate Radio.
Okay.
And it's a publicity thing, and I'm doing performer stuff. I'm working on MySpace performances. I'm a dungeon master, and I'm trying to raise awareness of my craft.
I see. So you are a dungeon master. That's good. Do you wear a loincloth often?
No.
You don't. When you do that, do you carry around a broadsword with you?
Only at SCA.
SCA, which to those people that don't know what that would be the Society for Creative Anachronism, if I remember.
That's right.
It's something along the lines of
reenactment.
Of a reenactment. It's kind of like live role-playing. And, it's something I've never done. I actually gave up on role-playing. I am about 150 years old. I gave up on it, but... Yeah, it's something that I'm not going to begrudge somebody for liking. It's not my kind of thing. I've been out of it for like 100 years, like I said, and it's something that, you know, I'm not begrudging, but why don't you explain that to people, Mr. Shay?
Well, role-playing is something that you have to do with people that you like to spend time with, because it does take several hours to do anything. And, like, the SCA specifically is oftentimes more of a camping trip in costume.
Okay.
So if you're not having fun with the people that you're playing with, you're not going to have fun playing.
I see.
And that's really, you know, that's really the thing. Like, I think that you probably were just not having as much fun with the group that you're playing with, and I'm probably going to try and talk you into playing games with me every once in a while.
So you want to smack me in the head with PVC swords, is what you're saying to me.
But it's fun.
But I like my head, and I really don't want it to be, you know, smashed in the face.
You're not allowed to hit people in the head.
Well, if that's the case, then that's something that's pretty good. Okay, so that's why you're wanting to do this. It sounds a little bit more... It sounds to me a little bit more political than what I'm used to. I mean, politics are for some people, and I'm not one of those people. What is it about you that makes it more political?
I am the de facto Pirate Party administrator for Kansas.
A pirate?
That's right, we're the Pirate Party.
I'm looking at you right now. I see glasses, but I don't see an eye patch.
Well, I believe that pirate really kind of describes America. We overthrew a king to take our own, to become kings of our own castles.
Well, what about on the idea that I didn't do that? My people didn't even do that.
Well, I think that the name honors our heritage in a large way.
Well, okay, that's good. But see, I'm Scottish, and we came over here because the potatoes were dying.
On boats?
Boats. Came over here on boats, and we
Pirates
don't like
had
that.
Boats.
Pirates did indeed have boats. So I think maybe that you're being a little bit smarter about this than I am, at least in terms of what makes for a good political party. See, I'm just not political because I find it despicable.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion in polite company.
Okay, well, there's nothing polite about either. Okay, yeah. So, like I said, Bagged and Boardcast, good stuff. Check it out. They typically record every Thursday night, and that's something that I've been doing for a while. I was listening to every Thursday night. I did get Mr. Shea turned on to it, and we were actually going to listen to it this night. And this is what we're going to do tonight, but it turns out they're not going to be doing it till Monday. So I went ahead and started up. I decided to do this. Like I said, please don't judge us off of this first one. This is not how it's doing. We're just testing out our equipment and just seeing how our voices do, seeing how many bottles of water we need to keep at the table and things of that matter.
I think we're pretty well stocked on beer, actually.
Well, beer does seem to dry your throat out a little bit. It makes me happy. However, being happy isn't the same thing as having a nice, wet throat. Wow. Dead air.
That's why we were thinking about having more than, you know, that's why we're doing this, you know, and
yeah,
having the questions so we can kind of get the pacing down to it.
Yeah. Right now, like I said, it's inaugural, so that's what we're going to be doing is we're just testing out how this works. Okay, so let's jump right into it. Like I said, Bagged Boardcast got a little bit off the thing. Something that they did that I found to be unique is every episode they do a beer review. So we're going to be kicking off our beer review right now with something that's a little bit homegrown. We have not mentioned in the past, but we are based out of Lawrence, Kansas. If you do not know what it is, it's where the Kansas Jayhawks are located. And, yeah, go Hawks. I'm not really into them, but for those of you that are, more power to you. So, we're going to be doing a double trial. We have a Boulevard Wheat. We do have two Boulevard beers. We're going to be trying a Boulevard Single Wide IPA, and I am a sucker for IPAs. A lot of people do not like them. However, I do. And what else are we trying tonight, Shay? This is my choice. What's your choice, Shay?
I picked the Bully Porter.
Bully Porter. Bully Bully. So I'm going to go with it's my equipment, it's my choice, so we're going to go with the IPA first. You got one going?
I have one right here.
All right, we're going to go ahead and give it a shot. Go ahead and try it, Shay, and start talking about it, and I'll try mine.
It's an IPA. You can really taste the hops.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is very hoppy. Very, very, very hoppy beer. Those of you that do not know what an IPA is, it stands for India Pale Ale. I am pretty much right now stealing from the Bag to Board cast because they have talked about this. But in case you haven't heard them, yeah, India Pale Ale. It's when we were sending ales over to India during some war that I'm not remembering at this time. But when we were sending ales to our troops over in India, we needed the ale to last the trip, so they would put a whole bunch of hops in it, and they would put all kinds of things to make it survive the voyage. And it just makes for a very robust beer. But as it being robust, it also allows for it to be very alcoholic. This one, I have not checked, is a... Let's see, it's a 12-ounce beer. I do not see the alcohol content. I don't need to be a genius or be able to read to tell you it is alcoholic-y. I'm not sure how much. But yeah, it's good. It's not the best IPA I've ever tried, but it is pretty good. Yeah, actually, I'd have to say that IPAs are my favorite beers that are out there. Shay, do you disagree with me, or do you...
I'm a big fan of the hoppy flavor beer.
Yeah, and that's going to get you there for the IPAs. So, yeah, I'd have to say that right now, my favorite beer is the Breckenridge Double IPA. It's something that a nice young lady at our local liquor store... Quit laughing at me over there, Mr. Shay. They recommended to me, and it's very expensive. A six-pack is $15.99. A 40, or even a pint of it's $9. And I felt like kind of a moron even spending that kind of money on the beer until it passed my lips. It's so good. It's, without a doubt, the best beer I've ever tasted. I mean, I feel as snazzy, and I feel as sophisticated as some of those wine tasters out there. I mean, it's just that good of a stuff. Well, now, what are you thinking about this IPA related to that Breckenridge?
To the Breckenridge?
Yeah.
It's definitely more hoppy. The Breckenridge had a deeper
you
base
think so?
To it.
I mean, the hoppy is good. I like the hop in the IPAs. But my thing here is I like IPAs because I love drinking like a Guinness and having a steak dinner with like a big old roll and a baked potato. But, you know, drinking that Guinness with that, it's like eating a loaf of bread. And I just don't like the way it sits on my stomach. I love the way it tastes, but it just sits on my stomach as if, you know, it's like a loaf of bread. However, it's something else altogether. I mean, you can drink an IPA, you get that nice, rich taste that you would get with something like a Guinness, but it doesn't sit on your stomach like that. And I think that's what turned me on to it.
I like pretty much every beer I've tried.
Yeah, leaving it up to you, you'll go get yourself a 12-pack of the PBR in the cans. I'm a little bit more distinctive than that, but hey, whatever.
Beer.
Yay, is
beer.
You asked me a couple months ago, I'd say beer is beer, but you know I'm being turned on to this good stuff, and I don't feel like such a schmuck drinking it. Okay, yeah, single white IPA, I think I'd give it a 3 out of 5. And I'm actually kind of hesitating, thinking maybe a 2 out of 5, because it is not readily available. You cannot go to a liquor store and buy a 6-pack of it. You can only get it in a seasonal pack, which is what we bought. Where would you rank it at, Shay?
I'd give it a 3. It's not the greatest IPA I've ever had, but it's certainly good.
Yeah, and it does seem to be doing the trick real well. So what are we hitting next, Shay?
We were going to talk about the
mission
beer statement.
Wise.
Oh, beer.
We haven't hit
beer?
Two beers. We only got the IPA.
Oh, right. So there's the Bully Porter.
The Bully Porter.
And it's got a lovely little picture of a dog.
Dog? Oh. I like dogs. I have a dog. Diesel. Shout out to Diesel. He's the awesomest ever. And he is my dog. Maybe at some point as we get the red phone zone up and going, I might throw a couple pictures up there. Yeah, he's my dog. He's awesome. So tell me a little bit about this Bully Porter while I give it a shot. Shit. Yeah, it's got a bulldog on it. Bully. Haha, I get it. It's so clever. Let's see.
I'm not really a beer specialist. I'm a beer aficionado, I guess, at best. I really like most beers. And Porter, I know, it's not as hoppy. It's more of a sweet flavor.
Yeah. Well, this Bully Porter, I don't like it. I mean, it's not anything. It's hoppy, but it just kind of has like a metallic-y aftertaste.
I would say it's nowhere near as hoppy as any IPA.
Well,
I've ever had. And you probably should have cleared your palate with some water before you switched.
Yeah, well, the cat bowl's empty. I don't like dead air.
See,
Shay.
There we're unprepared amateurs, and we didn't have water for everybody.
Well, okay. So what's next on our list, Shay? Why don't you go ahead and bring up our next point of what we're doing?
We want to go over the mission statement and also why we're broadcasting and our format. So I'm going to leave it up to you. Which one do you think we want to go to next?
I think we ought to talk about our format, what we're going to be doing weekly.
We've been discussing that back and forth. And I know that you and me are both dedicated to doing it, and we both have our segments. And we've talked to some other people about coming in as experts.
Now, what makes an expert, Shay?
Knows more about it than me or you.
Okay. So, if you had to pick a battle right now, what would you say that you're the expert on?
I am the Dungeon Master.
You are the Dungeon Master. With your loincloth and your plus 12 hack master.
Well, I do have a plus 12 hat. My hat's really keen.
You do have a nice hat. It makes me think like I'm in. It makes me think that I'm in like Alaska, and I see a moose walking by and things of that nature. But no, Shay's been doing the role playing game thing for a while. I think he started right around the same time I did, but he never retired when he was 21.
I ran my first game for my father when I was 9.
Wow, you're 9. I was still playing with. G.I. Joes, not G.I. Joes, I'm lying, Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles and stuff like that.
Both big, like, I've been a big fan of Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. I had some of their action figures, not as many as I had G.I. Joes.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't into G.I. Joes that much. I've always been more of a melee guy.
Guns, no, even the red laser guns and green laser guns from the G.I. Joe show. I'm a big fan of military to a certain extent.
Well, I like swords. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of kill shit with swords movies. I always felt those were pretty fun.
I am actually a swordsman.
Are you now?
Not a master swordsman by any means, but I know how to swing at a couple of different angles and fight with foam weapons. We call it light fighting out in the SCA.
SCA. Okay. Okay. That sounds fun.
The nice thing about the foam fighting in the SCA is you don't have to be nearly as careful.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to hit people in the head, but you don't have to be in a cordoned-off area with rules and a warden watching over every fight like you would with a real, what they call live steel or heavy fighting.
Okay. Have you ever had a PVC sword, a padded sword broken over your head?
I had a slip of the foam weapon hit me in the nose and actually give me a nosebleed.
Aw. What'd you do about that?
I spit it out and kept fighting.
Oh, so you didn't cry?
Well, there might have been tears, but...
Okay, because I might have had to have thrown a... I might have had to have thrown a sapphire ring your way had you done that.
I can't wear a star sapphire ring. I'm not
Why
a girl.
Why is that?
I'm not a girl.
Ah, so what? Still makes you a wussy.
I have a blue hope ring, and that's the one I want.
So what am I talking about with this whole star sapphire rings? I mean, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. And apparently we have two viewers, and why don't we explain for those viewers what you even mean by a star sapphire ring and a blue hope ring? What is this crazy mumbo jumbo that you're talking about?
It is the biggest thing going on in the DC Universe right now.
What's that? What's the DC Universe?
It's a publishing house that produces Superman and Batman.
Wow, like the superheroes?
You've probably seen some movies.
I have. I recall something about nipples on a Batman suit.
Yep. What was that? Joel Siegel?
Joel Schumacher. Yeah, There has actually been a total, well, Well, why don't we say since 1989, there's been a total of 6 Batman movies. We started off with Tim Burton's Batman in 1989, starring Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as Bruce Wayne slash Batman slash the Joker, respectively. A lot of people liked that movie. I don't really... Do you think we ought to talk about those movies now? We've never really discussed that with our other parties. I think that might be a really good topic.
It's a perfectly valid topic.
Okay, so Shay, why don't we say we got Batman, we got Batman Returns, we got Batman Forever, we got Batman and Robin, we got Batman Begins, and we've got The Dark Knight. Rank those in order of what you like best to what you like least.
I liked Batman Begins because I think it took the concept the most seriously. I haven't watched Dark Knight more than once. And you
call yourself a comic book fan.
You know, I make a point to see him at least once if I can. But then I end up watching movies and not paying close attention to them and having to watch them a couple of times to really absorb them. You know, I'm sure that the people who make the movies wish that everybody walked in was immediately absorbed into their creation instantaneously, but I appreciate watching movies several times.
Sure.
And catching little bits and pieces over and over again and that kind of thing is something I enjoy doing.
Okay, so you're saying you like Batman Begins Batman Returns the best.
No, Batman Begins.
Okay, you like Batman Begins the worst? I asked you to go from worst to best.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Wow, you did say that, didn't you?
I did. And we can go ahead and rewind this if you don't believe me.
Nope. I believe that that's what you requested. So Batman Begins is the last one on my worst to best list.
Okay, so you like Batman Begins the best.
Right.
Okay.
The Batman and Robin is my least favorite, and that's because...
Why is that, Shay?
That's because I didn't like the way they handled... the concepts. I was not a huge fan of the original 70s show.
Sure. 60s, but okay. You're talking Adam West, Burt Ward with the pow zap boom.
Yeah, and I think those guys did a great job on the show. It was really fun. I just think of The Dark Knight and Batman and Bruce Wayne as being a very serious story.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, there is a way of approaching those serious stories and not have them being macabre. They can still have some fun in them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had fun watching them, but they're still going to be my least favorite aspect of one of my favorite superheroes.
Sure. Okay, so that means that Batman and Robin's your least favorite. What is your next least favorite?
The other Schumacher one?
Batman Forever. You're referring to the one starring Val Kilmer as Batman, Chris O'Donnell as Robin, Jim Carrey as the Riddler, and Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. What is it about that movie that makes it fall so far onto your list?
You know, actually, I got those mixed up. I thought that Val Kilmer was in Batman and Robin.
That was George Clooney. Which, actually, in my opinion, George Clooney was the best cast Batman. However, he was up there with the worst directed. I think that Clooney could have pulled off a very, very good Batman, but in terms of what we got in The Dark Knight, he did what he was directed. You know, George Clooney is an Academy Award-winning actor, rightfully so. He's a talented director, and I think that had we been under a different direction with that movie, we would have got a much more dark and brooding Batman.
I can't agree with what you said more.
Yeah, because I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you do.
I do. So, what would that mean that your second to least favorite would be which?
Batman Begins, I think.
Batman Begins? The one of Christian Bale?
No, Batman Returns.
Batman Returns. Okay, now you're referring to the second Tim Burton installment, which had Michael Keaton as Batman Bruce Wayne again, and then we had Mr. Danny DeVito as Oswald Cobblepot, or as he's more commonly known, the Penguin. We had Michelle Pfeiffer in a very sexy and probably not very realistic leathery vinyl cat suit where she was saying meow and doing that kind of thing. We also had the odd addition in that movie of Christopher Walken as Max Schreck, the evil corporate megalomaniacal counterpoint to Bruce Wayne being the good the cool philanthropist. So that's your second to least favorite.
Actually, Batman Returns, I would say, is my second favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just going all over the place, man.
I'm getting the names mixed up.
You know what, guys? Forget what Shay's saying. Shay is going to get a piece of paper put in him, and next time we do this, I do promise you that we're going to have a dunce cap that he's going to have to wear while he messes up our podcast like this. I have been listening to these things long enough, and I've been thinking about these movies long enough. I can do this pretty well. I can say without a doubt that out of the six, my least favorite, without a doubt, is going to be Batman Returns. And I am talking about the one with Michael Keaton and the sexy Selina Kyle, Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman, and Max Schreck. It was just a joke. I just really didn't like it. I think that they slaughtered the character of the Penguin in Oswald Cobblepot. It was just very disrespectful to the original thing, and they went ahead and they made it, they just made it really too dark, but without taking it dark to the point where it was, you know, making a statement or anything like that.
I would say that I liked the chemistry between Batman and Catwoman in that Batman Returns better than I liked the Vicki Vale, the lady who played the Vicki Vale character.
I'll give you that. I will give you that. Now, with that being said, Selina Kyle and, excuse me, listeners, Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne are supposed to have a very strong chemistry. And while Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer did pull that off, I just don't think they pulled off our classical Batman and Catwoman relationship that we had going. So that is easily my least favorite. I'm going to have to go ahead and throw in, for my second least favorite, I'm going to have to go ahead and throw in there, if you want to send out any hate mail, please feel free to do so. It's going to be redphonezone@gmail.com. Out of all the Batman movies, my second least favorite is going to be the original Batman. With Michael Keaton, with Jack Nicholson, with Kim Basinger as Vicki Vale. It was a good movie. I was 8 or 9 years old when it came out, and I wasn't too much into Batman, but I saw it the same as everybody, and I saw it, I liked it. I do remember that I had a set of Topps trading cards that I bought at the Ye Old Sugarosity Shop. It used to be in Massachusetts Street in Lawrence, Kansas, our hometown here. And I'll never forget, I got this really cool card of the Joker. It was after his demise, where he'd fallen off of that building, and he was crushed into the pavement. Do you remember that, Shay, when that happened in that movie?
I remember thinking that I was expecting him to be like a blood splatter.
Sure, after he'd fallen off that big, big, big building. That would make sense. Truth be told, I got that card, and it was the Joker just crushed into the pavement with that outline around him just crushed into the pavement. And, you know, to this day, I think about the movie, and the first thing that pops into my head is that voice box thing that was in the Joker's pocket when Gordon walked up to him and was going, ah. It was creepy. But that being said, you know, I enjoyed the movie being 9 years old. Now that I'm 30 and I watch that movie, it's dated. Everything's all Technicolor, and you got Prince music in it. And if nothing else, Batman really should be timeless, and I really feel that way. That's why this beloved movie is going to go that low down on my list. So, I mean, I might be wrong, but, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion. And if I'm wrong, then prove me wrong. Please, do send out that email. Yeah, and you can send it to Aaron. Shay doesn't have to read it. He didn't say he liked it second least.
Feel free to tell me what you disagree with my choices as well, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. But he might be a little bit more, he might be a little bit more closer to the status quo on these. I'm going to have to go ahead and throw in there at my number, it'd be my number 1, 2, 3, 4. My number 4 least favorite is going to be Batman and Robin. And I'm throwing that one in there, and I'm well aware that I'm saying that the very much beloved movie of Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer and all that good stuff is going below this hated movie. But the way I look at Batman and Robin is it was supposed to be a, you know, over-the-top, crazy comic book, you know, day-glow, crazy gothic city with silly punchlines from our villains and just over-the-top characters. And right or wrong, they pulled that off. It's not like that story got away from them. The director was trying to do what he did. And, you know, we don't have to agree or disagree with it, but what I'm saying is they pulled it off. And I just think that that movie holds up better than the original Batman or Batman and Robin. Or, excuse me, Batman Forever. Third time out, Batman Returns.
The Tim Burton.
The Tim Burton one, yes.
I know, I just, I really enjoyed the Batman Returns. Not nearly as much as I enjoyed Batman Begins, but probably more so than I did the rest of them.
Sure.
The Dark Knight, like I said, I feel like I need to really sit down and watch it more intently than just kind of watching stuff on the screen and kind of paying attention to it.
Well, I'd agree with you wholeheartedly there. I mean, if you've just seen it once, I mean, that's really not good. You really need to pay attention to that movie because it's a well-made movie. Okay, after Batman and Robin is going to hit on the Batman Forever. I'm talking Val Kilmer directed. That's the first directorial outing by Joel Schumacher in the Batman franchise, starring Val Kilmer as Batman / Bruce Wayne. We had our first outing with Chris O'Donnell as Robin. We had Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, no less. Playing the Bruce Wayne love interest of, I believe her name was Dr. Chase Meridian. That sounds right to me. And we had Jim Carrey playing Edward Nygma, or the Riddler. And we had Tommy Lee Jones playing Harvey Dent, or Two-Face. That movie, I am going to say right here before I get into it, it's not a good movie. But I have a special spot in my heart for that movie. I went and saw that movie with my oldest sister when she was going to college in Emporia, Kansas. I went and saw that movie with her, and I really enjoyed it. I was more into Batman when I saw that one than I was when I saw the 1989 one with Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. I enjoyed it. I liked the and please, listeners, do try to understand here that I am coming off of a Batman movie that I hated at this point. I hated Batman and Robin when it came out. I hate it now, and I'm never going to not hate it. I just really did not like that movie.
I think that Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee's roles should have been switched. I think that Jim Carrey did a better Two-Face, and the maniacalness I think of when I think of Two-Face, whereas I think Tommy Lee had the calculatingness that he would have made a better Riddler as I think of the Riddler.
Well, and you are absolutely right in that. And when I'm talking about, you know, how much I enjoy this movie, it's shocking down to warm, fuzzy childhood memories. Now as a 30-year-old boy who is a little bit more in tune with Batman, I'm going to say a couple of things. I thought that Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face was atrocious. I mean, he was never acting conflicted. At no point in that movie did he ever really act conflicted. There was one point in the movie where he was trying to decide if he should shoot Batman or not, and he was flipping his double-sided coin. And he kept flipping, and it kept on hitting good, and he kept flipping it until he got the result he wanted. And that's not what Two-Face is about. That's not what Harvey Dent's about. And I didn't like that. As far as the Riddler goes, I might have a little bit more to say on this than anybody really cares to listen to. But the way I see it is, I thought the Riddler was really nothing else but, you know, Ace Ventura wearing a green suit that had question marks all over it. I see you over there smiling at me, Shay, so I'm thinking you might be somewhat agreeing with me. Am I right?
I do. I agree with you a lot.
Okay. That being said, oddly enough, I do think that... I do feel that we could actually switch the roles of Jim Carrey and Jack Nicholson. And I think in those performances, we could have gotten a better Joker out of Jim Carrey and gotten a better Riddler out of Jack Nicholson, because he pulled off the crazy as the Riddler. Jim Carrey pulled off a crazy Riddler, and the Riddler isn't crazy. He's cold, he's calculating, he's intelligent. And that's the way that they pulled off this Joker in Batman. And then we have this crazy hybrid of the Riddler and kind of the Mad Hatter with the whole brain control thing going on.
And the giggling.
But, you know, Jim Carrey at the time, and I haven't really checked lately, but he was one of those actors that demands $20 million a role. And, you know, when you make that kind of money, that means that you kind of know what you're doing.
I saw an interview with Schumacher, and he commented on the fact that he had Jim Carrey go into the role from the 70s or the 60s show.
Did he? Off of, was it Frank Gorstein? I might be absolutely wrong. I'm not very familiar with the original role.
I don't make a real habit of memorizing names,
I do, but I'm not very... And here's a little bit of trivia for you guys. I don't even know if I've ever told Shay this, but originally in the television show, the original Batman television show, they were going to introduce Harvey Dent, Two-Face, in the next season of the show. Are you aware of this, Shay?
Of the cartoon?
No, I'm talking of the Adam West, Burt Ward, you know, Powell, Biff, Zam, corny 60s television show.
How could they bring that into another season?
Well, they were going to. Before it was canceled, they were talking about the next season, and they were going to be bringing Harvey Dent into it.
That would have been interesting. I think that character was really dark for that time period format.
Absolutely. And they even went so far as to cast the role and to pay the actor. And that actor, a lot of people have heard of, and his name is Clint Eastwood.
Really?
Yep. They wanted Clint Eastwood to play Harvey Dent or Two-Face in that original show, and I was really interested in that. And he even went so far as to get paid, and then the show got canceled, and they went ahead and didn't do it. But I thought that was an interesting little bit of trivia.
Wouldn't that have been during when he was coming out of the spaghetti westerns in a real big name?
He got his name with the spaghetti westerns, but he really got like a really big name in the 80s with the late 60s, early 70s with the Dirty Harry character.
It was go ahead, yeah. Make my day.
Yeah, make my day and all that good stuff. Okay, back on topic, listeners. I have not lost where I'm going with this. So that leaves me down to my two most favorite, and if you guys are keeping track, that only leaves the Christopher Nolan ones. And my second most favorite of all of them is The Dark Knight. I really enjoy The Dark Knight. I think that you would have to be just some kind of inhuman person to not admire Heath Ledger's performance in that movie.
Indeed.
Yeah, he was a fantastic Joker. He might have been a little dark. And it's funny, as much as I enjoyed that movie, as much as I enjoyed that Joker, my favorite Joker still is the animated series, Batman the Animated Series, with Mark Hamill as the Joker. That, to me, is the quintessential Joker.
Mark Hamill is doing the voice the way I imagine it when I read the Joker.
Right. But I was never as scared of Mark Hamill's Joker as I was of Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight.
Well, the cartoon is going to be a little less imposing than having that marred face staring at you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that being said, as we all know, Heath Ledger did pass away right after finishing filming that movie. And that's very unfortunate. He was an actor that I did respect. I was watching a lot of his work. And I was excited to see him playing a character that I liked a lot in the Batman franchise. And everybody latched on to it because, you know, dead or alive, it was just it was a spellbinding performance. I mean, as much as I'm saying that I do not like the original Batman movie with Tim Burton and Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton, I will say that Jack Nicholson did turn in a very good performance, a very, very good performance. And yet, Heath Ledger erased that performance with his. And that's something that's not easy to do. I mean, we're talking like a 28-year-old kid, you know, undid the great Jack Nicholson. And I'm saying right here, even though Jack Nicholson's still alive, once he passes away, he's going to go down history as the greatest actor to have ever lived.
You really think that Jack Nicholson is that good?
I do. I really do not think of many actors that can hold a candle up to Nicholson's resume.
You know, the first movie I think of when I think of Jack Nicholson is actually Wolf.
Wolf? Not exactly his best outing, but yeah. I mean, it's certainly a memorable one.
Well, I think he went to a character that could very easily be taken lightly, a werewolf.
Sure.
You know, werewolves blundin' and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he really brought that sort of suffering of, like, what is happening to me, and then the embrace of who he was and what he had become, and, you know, that feralness and a sort of a... I think he did a very subtle performance in Wolf, and that's something that struck me as in a hard role to play.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right. I mean, but, you know, it's funny that Jack Nicholson does have a history of phoning in roles. And I would actually kind of pick Wolf as one of those roles that he did kind of phone in. But at the same time, there's people, excuse me, that do... you know, their best work, and they're not as good as Jack Nicholson's phone-in roles. I mean, I love you, Jack. You're great. You really are. I'm not trying to speak ill of you. But yeah, I mean, as much as Heath Ledger was a very good point in that movie...
Aaron is reading something that someone has sent.
No. No. As much as Jack Nicholson was a very good point in that movie, I do feel that Harvey Dent, Aaron Eckhart, was an unsung hero of that movie. I just loved Two-Face in The Dark Knight. He was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Blows Tommy Lee Jones out of the water.
You know, I think he was working with... You know, he's a serious actor, and he was doing a comedy piece.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, he was doing what he was told. Tommy Lee Jones doesn't have anything to prove to me that he's a good actor. I mean, he is a very good actor. But he just didn't pull off the Harvey Dent, Two-Face duality that I need in that character.
Right. I mean, the performance that comes to mind when I think of Tommy Lee Jones is actually a very little-known movie called House of Cards.
House of Cards? I liked that movie. That was a good movie.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I really like him. He is a very good...
I heard a rumor, actually.
What's that?
Tommy Lee Jones was a local community theater actor for most of his life, and then it wasn't until he was about 40 or 50 when he decided to try and put himself up into the you know, real big...
Yeah.
Celebrity actor status.
Now, I can't really speak of Tommy Lee Jones. I'm not that familiar with his career. However, I do know that there are other actors that have done that. So, I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't.
It's a story that I've heard, and it struck me as true because I don't recall having seen his face younger.
I don't know what the earliest thing I remember him from is. I do know that he did Lonesome Dove. I don't know if that was before or after he really hit it big. He did Coal Miner's Daughter. That was, God, I don't even want to pretend that I know the year. But that was an old movie. It was the Loretta Lynn story.
Loretta Lynn.
Country singer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the earliest thing I remember him, but I haven't followed his career.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of really good actors out there today. It's one of the biggest industries in the world, and you know, you pick the ones that you like. I'm not much of a follower myself. You know, I don't, you know, keep track of all these names, but certain names definitely. You know, if I've heard the name of somebody, then they're definitely famous.
Yeah, Christopher Lee.
Lord of the Rings.
Very good. What else?
A lot of stuff.
My favorite actor, hands down. He's just somebody that I'll watch anything that he does.
He does amazing performances. I recall, as a dungeon master, I felt very proud of the scene in Lord of the Rings where they were having the wizard will duel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
You know, things that I've seen, you know, in my mind's eye on the table, a lot of times, it looked just like what I wanted to see.
Yeah. Christopher Lee is just one of those actors that... I mean, as much as I love him, he's done some bad movies. Bad, 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 bad movies.
Well, he has a huge credits list, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He. I haven't checked long enough, and I don't want to be misquoted here, but at one point he had more credits than any other living actor ever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. He strikes me as that kind of work actor.
Yeah, how they call it. I mean, he's not one of those guys that turns down a role just because he doesn't want to do it. I mean, he needs to feed his family.
Right.
And he sees it that way.
And also, he also struck me as somebody who would take a bad role as a challenge.
Sure. And try to make it better.
Which is something that I have a great respect for. You know, like, people who are, you know, just know that's going to not play right when, in a certain sense, and a lot of people believe that taking what you have and making the best of it as possible and recognizing that the really critical people in the world are going to look at the entire package.
Right. Well, it's something that we haven't really got into this, and I imagine we're starting to run out of time here. And I keep talking for a while. But, you know, as much as I'm talking about comic books, as much as I'm talking about movies, as much as I'm talking about Batman, first and foremost, I am a Star Wars guy. And maybe we can get this confirmed when I got Crow on the show in one of these upcoming weeks. However, I called Christopher Lee being cast as a Sith Lord in Star Wars Episode II.
I think I remember that, actually.
I don't know if you do or not. You may.
Well, you were working in town.
Sure.
What, right when that came out? That might have been after, but it was definitely, I think, before. No? No, because I saw it when they came out. I am a Star Wars geek. I have won Star Wars Trivial Pursuit once.
Well, I could, you know, maybe that'd be a little fun thing to do, is we can play some Star Wars Trivial Pursuit on this podcast, and I will teach you what you don't know about it.
I don't think people want to watch us play or listen to us play Trivial Pursuit.
It'd be kind of funny. It'd make me feel good as a person, because I know Star Wars really well.
We could do stuff like that.
Maybe.
We're still working on the segments and the formats. And
sure.
I mean, I guess that's something that we want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch us play a game and answer completely random questions that we pull out of a box?
Please do. Please do. Yeah. RedPhoneZone@gmail.com. Shoot it out at us. We'll do it.
You know, I just had a grand idea.
What's that, Shay?
We could just do that.
Maybe we should.
Using the audience as the Trivial Pursuit cards.
Okay. You know,
so they
I love that idea.
You know, somebody sends us a trivia question, and we put it to the table, and we all give our answers right quick.
Yeah,
and that way they
work for me.
They could even put the answer in. So if they send it to my box at redphonezone.com,
right,
then I would know the answer and ask the question. They send it to your box, you would read the question, and
yep. Now, you know, if you guys just want to make me feel like an idiot, me being Aaron, go ahead and send me a role-playing game question, because I don't know anything about them. And the funny thing is we've been discussing this for a couple of weeks, and I am ardently refusing to be our comic books expert. I'm on an audio cast, and I'm doing quotes in the air, even though you guys can't see it, because I don't feel I know enough about it.
I would say that Aaron knows a lot more than me about Batman and
I'd agree there.
Several elements of the DC universe. I would say that on a large overall, I probably have a lot wider comic book interests.
I'd agree.
And so I'm familiar with things all the way from Power Pack and
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, Rom the Space Knight.
Sure,
and
sure.
You know, I'm a big fan of Speedball in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, do you mean the cocaine, like a whole bunch of cocaine when you take all that and do it all at once?
You know, the results are kind of similar because Speedball is frantic, bouncing around. He has his ability is kinetic reversal.
Sure, sure.
So if you no matter how hard you hit him, what you get back an equal and opposite reaction, and he doesn't get hurt at all.
Okay, we are now sitting at about, oh, probably 45, 50 minutes into this cast. Let me look real quick where I am. Oh, something like that. And I just want to give a shout-out to my friend Amber. She's been trying for 40 minutes to get logged on. She can't figure it out. And that's really touching that she tried that long So, absolute shout-out. Thank you very much, Amber, for just trying to show out your support for us. And I think that's very sweet of you, and I think that's very telling of you as an individual. So thank you very much, sweetie. I appreciate it.
I sent the alert to everyone in my Twitter network, so that who knows who our other viewer is.
Yeah, who knows? It actually might just be us. I actually think that we show up as a viewer on here.
I think I did load up the page.
Oh, well, yeah, that would make sense then.
The software that we're using here, Ustream, is actually really cool.
I'm enjoying it.
We logged in, we plugged in, and hit the broadcast. There was no real mega setup effort. We went to Radio Shack yesterday and today and picked up some equipment.
Didn't spend a whole lot either.
No, plugged it into the laptops, logged into the website. We don't need any special audio software.
Hi. Hey! Che and Crow's roommate, Mr. Roan, is walking in on the inaugural podcast of the Red Phone Zone. Do you want to say something? You can make history. This might be the greatest thing ever. And you can say, I was there on the inaugural voyage of the Red Phone Zone podcast. Do you want to do it, man?
Would something like a regional colloquialism be okay?
Sure.
Kansas in winter fucking sucks.
I agree with you there, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. Kansas is great. We get all the weather.
I didn't say Kansas in general. I said Kansas in winter.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there, buddy.
I love blazing summers, don't get me wrong.
I like it.
And all the girlies take their clothes off.
Yeah, there's that. It's nice.
Yeah, the girlies. We like it when the girlies take their clothes off.
Did you say girlies? Yeah.
Whatever. I did.
Well, Roan would prefer the boys take
the
their boilies. Clothes off.
So, yeah, at any rate, believe it or not, I am still holding on to my thought. And so that would mean my number one most favorite Batman movie out of all of them was...
Same as mine.
Batman Begins. And, I really think that the reason that it makes it my favorite is a deep-rooted bias in me. There is no better villain in the Batman universe than Ra's al Ghul. I think they pulled him off beautifully. I think that the twist they pulled with Liam Neeson was just so cool. And it was just an amazing thing that they did. And I couldn't have been happier. I could not have been happier.
I really approved of the mastermind move with Ra's al Ghul of having a puppet.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it especially in the real world of the Christopher Nolan things, because obviously we weren't going to have a
immortal
in that world. I mean, and that's fine.
If there's no Superman, then there's no Lazarus Pit.
Oh, there's Superman. There's Superman
in Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah. At some point, they are talking about doing a Batman versus Superman movie.
A Batman World's Finest?
That'd be pretty cool, too.
You know, doing it in the dark version of Superman that matches up with the real hardcore version of Batman is something I would really appreciate. I've seen some really dark takes on Superman that I really do approve of.
Yeah? Like what?
Mostly Elseworld stuff, where he has been raised by Lex Luthor... Or he's really more alone in the world without the Martian and other powered people. He really is that lone, freakish, super-powered creature who has to make that decision about how to live his life.
Okay. I agree. So now that I've given you way more time than you deserve, why don't you go ahead and go down your list, Mr. Shea?
I have to go down my list. Okay, so the one I like the least is Batman Returns. And I put Batman and Robin up higher than Batman Returns because I like the casting of Clooney.
Okay, I don't have to agree with that, but I see your train of thought there.
Then the original Batman number one I would put at 3 because I just didn't feel it was as together as the... Batman Returns.
Okay.
which I liked. I felt all the performers put together a really good performance. I know they really kind of messed around with the backgrounds of Selena Kyle specifically, and Oswald Cobblepot to a certain extent, but I thought it really came together well.
Okay, I agree with you.
Then moving to, I would have to put The Dark Knight because I'm just not as, I just haven't absorbed it as well as I should. And then that leaves...
This is completely off topic, but she's earned it. I just want to say, over this podcast, or when she listens to it, Amber is a very sexy woman. Very sexy woman.
I was talking to her earlier, and she has this beautiful voice.
She does have a beautiful voice, but I'm looking at beautiful photos now. Beautiful woman. I'm very proud to know her.
Aaron, are you looking at porn on the internet?
I'm not looking at porn, but I'm looking at very tasteful, beautiful photographs of this woman.
Is this our mission statement?
By God, it should be if it isn't. My Lord, she's beautiful. It's so beautiful, I ain't showing you.
What? That's not fair.
I'm sorry. You're just going to have to live with a life that isn't fair then.
Well, life isn't fair.
No. And I'm not willing to share that.
Dead air.
And it earned it.
Well, we're playing around. We're catching our timing back and forth. We have completely gone off the mission statement segment review. We did get to the beer topic, which was on the list.
We like beer.
Yay, beer!
Beer. So, what do you think of this whole thing so far, Shay?
I really enjoy it. It reminds me of running a game.
Well, I mean, I like it, the fact that, you know, it actually feels like we're doing something constructive.
You know, I spend all my time trying to do something, whether it's for my political party or for my games that I create or for the books that I'm trying to write as part of being a Dungeon Master, which is sort of a hack process for me because I'm more of a live performance kind of guy. So I spend a lot of time editing and going back over elements. So I hack my way through writing as I'm familiar with story construction.
Okay.
So I spend, you know, right now I'm writing a blog on shay.hardestlevel.com about BioShock because I think it's a popular concept right now. So, I mean, I'm always doing something somewhere, just whether or not you know about it.
Well, I imagine you are. I don't hold your leash.
It's one of those things where I just got a columnist position with a website called eyeofthevortex.com.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Shay. I wish the best of luck to you on that.
They have an absolutely gorgeous website, and you can download beautifully illustrated PDFs from their website right now.
Good. That's good to hear. Well, I think we're reaching the end of this thing right now. We've talked a little bit. I think we're going to be doing this again. Please keep an eye out on our Twitter, or you can do anything like that. I think we're going to be broadcasting maybe next Wednesday.
I like Wednesday.
I like Wednesdays as well. And maybe we can talk about the comic books that come out. So
it's a good poll day. It's we might be able to do this. We might try doing this down at the Super Nerd Night.
That'd be good. What's that?
It's a nerd festival down in downtown Lawrence that I'm good friends with the guys who are putting it on. I'm actually trying to organize a Wizards Live play event at Jackpot, which is the name of the bar.
Sure.
And there's a video game tournament. There is a magic tournament. There's an art contest. And all of these contests are for magic cards, bragging rights. And we give, I think they were getting beer tickets.
Awesome. I like beer.
Yeah. It's something that just started maybe 6 months ago, and it's been done five times, I believe. There was the KU game sort of overrode the Super Nerd Night, and that provoked it to be moved from Monday night, the last Monday of every month, to the last Wednesday of every month.
Sure.
And it's something that they may move around a little bit. You know, it's not as brand new as we are, but it's definitely something that they're getting rolling.
That's good. We always need new things, otherwise nothing's never going to be worthwhile.
Well, we need to get nerds out of their living rooms and interacting with each other, because there's so many of them. They should see each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Shay, tell me about this show we're going to be having next week.
Are we going to do our segments, or are we going to...
We're doing our segments.
We're
going to
do our segments.
Tell me all about that so I can pay attention.
Well, the segments that we have theorized are, you are going to run the casting, where we pick a comic book and choose some actors that we believe should take the roles as some of the major characters.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What book's going to be our first?
Are we going to reveal that information already?
I think we should.
All right. I think it's going to be Batman and Son.
Wow. That's a good book. I'm looking forward to that one.
You know, I really like the character of Damian Wayne. I think it adds to the mythos.
Too. I really do, too.
And I want to do what I call characterization, which is basically I pick a subject that everybody might have seen on TV, and I use a little bit of D&D lingo.
Throwing some nerd shit into there.
Yeah, give it a plus 12 and a minus
plus 12 2. Pack master.
And now Crow is talking about doing video games and putting together a nice little card.
Sure, sure.
And hey, Roan.
Yeah.
Were you thinking about doing the comic book?
Possible.
Yeah, have you put some thoughts into how your segment would work?
Releases, but I would love to read them and let you know what I think.
That sounds good to me.
What about an idea? What about a mythos kind of explanation?
That'd be fantastic.
Letting people know some of the little details that, you know, maybe aren't well known in something that people are... They know the name, but they don't know, you know, the name of Thangar.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be fantastic, because I'm a little bit better at new releases, and it sounds like you might be able to get into the older releases better.
I like the older releases. I also enjoy one-shots. Pretty nice, just the basics. One of my normals. We got a really nice library here in Lawrence. I picked up Marvel, I think, 1604.
I like 1602?
1602?
That was good stuff.
Yeah,
I liked
that.
That
was really good. I thought
that
was really well put together.
I really like Nick Fury in that.
Yeah.
He was awesome in there.
Still quite the Moor, as a matter of fact.
Also. Yeah, he really was.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing choice. I don't know of an actor that I would want to be that hard-ass more so than...
Sam?
Yeah.
Mr. Sam, another Star Wars guy. You gotta love it.
He called me and invited me to Snakes on a Plane personally.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I hope you were there personally. So, yeah, please be looking forward to this next week. I hope to God that we are going to be a little bit more organized, but... Like I asked, please do be a little bit more, just be a little forgiving, because we're just still figuring this out.
No, don't be forgiving. Rip us a new one and make us answer for all of our crimes.
Okay, fine, do that too. So, this one is, I'm going to go ahead and call our maiden voyage done. This is going to be Aaron signing out of the Red Phone Zone.
Cheers.